Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
This is Penn Jillette. That's the Mike Jones Gigantic Orchestra playing the Penn Jillette theme. You can go to PennRadio.com and you can click right over there to Jones Jazz. Get yourself some more Mike Jones music. You know, I'm playing bass on that. Oh, the excitement in the room is palpable. Can you feel it? Can you feel the palpable excitement in the room? Because it is Monkey Tuesday.
Monkey Tuesday.
Woo-hoo! It's Monkey Tuesday. We want to talk monkeys. This will not be a regular feature. So we think. So we think right now.
Depends on the response, doesn't it?
But if the response is great enough, we might have every Tuesday Monkey Tuesday.
Monkey Tuesday.
Last Tuesday was Monkey Tuesday. Was it last?
I think it was.
Was it Monday or Tuesday that I told the monkey and the dwarf story? I told them both days, I think. Maybe I told them all 3 days.
I think you told
us
Friday and Monday.
No. Was that right?
So.
Okay, whatever.
Not sure.
Whatever, though. That was not. Maybe from now on it'll be Monkey Tuesday. We are maggoty with monkeys. After I told my monkey story, a guy wrote in a monkey story. I want to read. You know, it's not often. We got a two-page letter here, single spaced, like it was written by a psychotic. Like if you were going to this guy's blog, you'd have him arrested for writing too much. But I'm going to read that because it's a great one. We also want to talk about Cheetah, the old monkey. And I'm going to talk about, you know, I'm not the kind of guy who grew up monkey obsessed. I'm not a big monkey guy. Monkeys did not mean much to me. But then I had an experience. I had an experience in my life that changed my life. I got sent, this is about 12 years ago or so, with my dear friend Barry Marks, who has since died, but that's not... he had a horrible heart condition. But he was one of my best friends, and I loved him dearly. And we got a copy. We were working on a show here in town. We were working on, like, an HBO show. And I got a copy of the original Tarzan and His Mate, 1934. It was hard to get at the time. Now it's out on DVD. And Tarzan and His Mate was before the Hays Code or something? I guess so. So they could do anything they wanted. So the violence is amazing. And you get to see Marina Sullivan, like, naked swimming. It's got all sorts of good stuff in it. And really brutal violence in Tarzan and His Mate. And we were watching Tarzan and His Mate. And we got about part of the way into it. And there is a shot of Cheetah, who's the monkey. Okay? And Cheetah is smoking a cigarette. Marina Sullivan has given Cheetah a pack of cigarettes, and he starts smoking. And we began laughing, I believe, harder than I've ever laughed in my life. The smoking monkey nearly killed me. I mean, I was laughing so hard. And then it was about 4 in the morning, right? We've been writing all day, and we're watching the smoking monkey. And I had a laugh so bad, I was laughing so hard, and then I also had to pee, okay? And I was laughing too hard to make this a safe operation. I didn't feel I could walk because I felt that I was going to have an accident on the way to the bathroom laughing so hard about the smoking monkey. And so I began to crawl on my hands and knees to the bathroom in my home because I was laughing so hard about the smoking monkey. And Barry Marks decided that if I was going to have an accident on the way to the bathroom laughing about a smoking monkey, he wanted to see it. So he walked beside me as I crawled, like a dog and his master, trying to get to the bathroom. And Johnny Thompson, we've talked about Johnny Thompson many times on the air before.
The great
Johnny Thompson is, I think, the greatest living magic mind we have today. Fabulous guy. Works with Lance Burton, works with Penn and Teller, works with Chris Angel, who I'm now dating. Actually, we're supposed to have dinner, but yeah, not yet. He hasn't called me back, rat bastard. So I was telling Barry Marks how Johnny Thompson is, to me, pure show business. He wrestled Gorgeous George. He played in the Harmonic Cats. He worked vaudeville. He worked burlesque. He worked show business. He's worked movies. He's worked television. He's done everything in show business and really knows show business inside out. And I'm giving Barry this whole buildup, okay? We're going into shoot. It was either an HBO or Showtime thing. So I go to my trailer, my mobile home, and Johnny is waiting there. And Johnny, for those of you who watch Bulls hit, was the guy who did the amazing comb over. We had a thing on the comb over on
yes.
the hair show. That's Johnny. So Johnny's got his hair all jet black and combed over, and he's wearing like a sport coat, very Vegas-y. And he's sitting in my trailer because he gets there before I do. And I walk in, and I say to Johnny, "What's the funniest thing in the world, Johnny?" I've just given a big build-up to Barry how this guy knows show business better than anyone. I give him no hint, no nothing. I said, what's the funniest thing in the world, Johnny? And Johnny goes, "Well, It would be a smoking monkey. A monkey with a pack of cigarettes is nothing funnier in the world, Penn. It's the funniest thing ever. And Barry's, of course, hysterical again. And then Johnny says to me, do not ever try to follow a smoking monkey. He said, we had a vaudeville bill, and we had the Marquee Chimps on. And the Marquee Chimps did a little thing where they did ended with a smoking monkey. And he said the audience would be so hysterical, we had to send a chick singer out afterwards. He said, no comic, no magician, no nothing could follow a smoking monkey. And I'll tell you, there's footage on the web you can find of, like, smoking monkeys. And I did hysterical laughing at us. And that was the reason in the story that I told before about the dwarf that we had when I became friends with Josh, who had the monkey Tarzan. The monkey Tarzan, not the movie Tarzan, starring Cheetah. Because I wanted to have a surprise for my girlfriend at the time. So she walked into the living room, and there sitting on the couch was a monkey smoking. It was a chimp. Tarzan was smoking cigarettes, and he would, you know, he would hold the cigarette in his hand and, oh, it's so funny, and we just laughed. So if you ever need a good laugh, find yourself a monkey, give him a pack of smokes, let him smoke. Now, I know Pete is against having monkeys smoke because it's bad for them. Maybe it is bad for them. But, I mean, Jerry Lewis made us laugh so much of those pratfalls. They were bad for him. Chevy Chase broke his backbone doing falls. That was bad for him. A monkey can sure as hell smoke to make me laugh really hard.
And Cheetah's 71.
Okay, well, this was 1934.
Might not be the same one.
Well, I mean, they're saying, I mean, 34. How long ago was 1934, Goudeau?
72 years.
72 years ago. So, and how old's the monkey?
71, as of this article.
So it couldn't be the same. It couldn't be the same monkey.
May 9th, 2003. It can be the same monkey. That's the article date, May 9th, 2003. It is the same cheetah.
It could be the same cheetah?
It's the same cheetah.
And what have you found out? And he retired, right?
He's 71 years old.
He's in the old monkey's home?
He's in Palm Springs painting.
Uh-huh. What does he paint?
Well, you know, it's abstract. But it is lovely. He seems to have a good sense of color.
And has he got a good life? Has Cheetah got a good life?
Yeah, sure. Chimpanzees in the wild live for 40, 45 years, usually to the mid-50s when they're in captivity. This chimp is 71.
Wow.
So,
good quality of life?
It would seem. So it would seem.
This is
Here's a picture of him with Lex Barker as Tarzan in 1950.
Les Barker in 1950, though. I'm talking about 34, man. With
I understand that.
I think it's a different goddamn monkey. That's what I think. I think it's a different monkey. But anyway, probably a fine monkey. We're at Free FM. This is Penn Jillette on Monkey Tuesday. Monkey Tuesday.
You're out of it, man.
I'm a little out of it, yeah. I get a monkey story to read. I thought I had something else to say about monkeys. Maybe I don't.
Well, here's a great quote. It says, would you go to a movie if you knew the child actors had been kidnapped and forced through abuse by their kidnappers to perform silly and demeaning acts?
Yeah. I mean, we watched that. Wasn't our gang? That was true for our gang.
I believe that was the same, yeah.
Yeah.
Same monkeys.
Who said that? Who said that quote?
Roger Fouts, co-director of the Chimpanzee and Human Communication Institute.
So he's against Cheetah having had a gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like child? Well, the child actors were kidnapped, weren't they, pretty much?
I suspect so.
Robert Blake was made wacky for his whole life, wasn't he? And the buckwheat was crazy, and all those Argan guys were out of their minds. And what about Baby Leroy and stuff? I guess we stopped doing that is probably the guy's point.
Yeah,
the guy's point is probably we stopped doing it. Monkey Tuesday! What day is it, Michael Goudeau?
Monkey Tuesday.
It's Monkey Tuesday. It's Monkey Tuesday here on Free FM. You know, there's a story that Ron Gomes told me. You know Ron Gomes?
Yes.
Good friend of mine. Ron Gomes told me a story about the tea monkeys. You know about the tea monkeys?
The tea monkeys, no.
I tried to find this on the web, and I couldn't find anything about it, which means that maybe Ron made it up, or maybe I made it up. It's very hard to tell. But he told me about these monkeys in Canada, okay, these chimps in Canada who were tea monkeys. And they would, at the zoo, they would have full high tea every day. They'd be dressed up in suits, and they would come over and bow and shake hands and have high tea with their pinkies out when they drank the tea and pour it from the teapot. And these tea monkeys became really famous in the 50s, although not famous enough that I could find anything on the web about
them. Nothing about them.
Nothing about them. But And the great story, the kind of really, really sad story, and a story that I think all of us in show business should keep in mind, was the T-Monkees fell out of popularity. Okay, so they worked for X number of years as T-Monkees, and they would have the suits and the tails, and they would go in and have their little tea, right? And then they fell out of popularity. No one gives a damn about the T-Monkees anymore. So the T-Monkees go to a zoo to live out their final years. Okay, and when the T-Monkees go to the zoo to live out their final years, they put them in a cage with regular monkeys, okay? And the monkey, the T-Monkees walk in because they've been trained. They walk in and they go out to shake hands with the regular zoo monkeys, who then kick the tar out of them. Just beat them senseless, you know. They're just going, you pansy monkeys, boom, boom, boom. And the tea monkeys had to be put in a special room where they would still do their trained behaviors of tea monkeys. Now, I don't know if the story is true.
If the or story, funny or sad.
You don't think it's any of those things.
I'm not sure it's any of those. It could be all of those.
It is funny.
It's
isn't
funny
it?
And
isn't
a little
it, isn't it funny to picture a tea monkey who's been trained to be a very highfalutin
getting beat up by a
street monkey?
Lance Burton's contract's up in 3 years. I just picture myself at 8 o'clock every night juggling in my living room.
Yes, exactly. Or going to a biker clubhouse and doing your juggling act. That's what they did to these tea monkeys, if it's true. But I think Ron made it up, and then I think I elaborated on it and made it up more. So it probably has nothing to do with reality, but it's Monkey Tuesday.
you know the macaques, right? The Japanese macaques?
No.
The ones that sit in the hot springs in the winter? Have you seen those photos?
No.
Oh, it's gorgeous. There's a group of monkeys there that climb into hot springs when it's snowing out. And I've seen photos of these through the years of just these monkeys sitting with 4 inches of snow on top of their heads, sitting in hot water.
Cigarettes?
What? No cigarettes, I'm sorry.
What do you mean no cigarettes?
The water's smoking around them.
How much would it cost to get
these are wild monkeys. We'd have to...
Well, you put a smack... All you got to do is get a pack of cigarettes. They know what to do with them, don't they?
I don't know. It seems... It seems bad enough.
Now, in the story we had with the story that I told about the dwarf that you were here for,
yes.
Arturo said that chimps hate water. Okay, those are chimps.
These are macaques.
Macaques. Macaques are not chimps.
They're not chimps. They're
some
monkeys.
Some monkeys like water.
These
some
are
monkeys
actually
don't.
Monkeys.
You can't tell. Oh, yeah. These are New World?
Yeah.
They have a tail?
They have tails.
Well, they're in Japan, right?
Well, they're still macaques. They're monkeys. They're
macaques.
Monkeys. Macaques are monkeys.
And do you have any stories about the bonobos?
No, I don't know about bonobos yet.
The Kinsey report of monkeys?
I think if monkeys were as smart as people say they were, these macaques would have invented towels by now. Because it seems to me the stupidest thing you can do when it's snowing out is climb into a jacuzzi without a towel.
Or
a home. There's nowhere to run when you get out. You know how when you get out of the jacuzzi and it's cold, you run into the house or the shower, or the towels?
How do you know
the
that?
The macaques don't do that.
How do you
video.
Know that I do that? Your video? It's Monkey Tuesday! I don't know if I have time. If I don't have time, I'm just going to let it go a little longer, I guess. This is a story from Scott that he sends to Penn Radio. And this is a monkey story. I have a story from my childhood that pretty much trumps any monkey story. Hey, there you go. Pretty strong claim there,
That's
Scott.
A big claim.
Mostly because it involves multiple monkeys, none of them wearing a trademark blue stocking hat. He's making a joke about the monkeys, the band. I once met Billy when I was talking to...
none of the monkeys were named Billy.
Billy Connolly.
Huh?
I met Billy Connolly. I met him on a New Year's Eve party at Barbara Streisand's house.
Lying now.
No, that's where the story starts.
Security to the studio, please. He's lost it.
And Billy...
You know, monkey doesn't necessarily refer to how you tell stories. You don't have to lie.
I'm just telling you. We were there, New Year's Eve, and of course the difference
Barbara Streisand's house. You were invited to Barbara Streisand's house for New Year's Eve.
Okay, let me make this clear.
You and Billy Connolly.
Dolly Parton was
dating.
There. Okay,
yeah.
And Don Rickles was there, and Dustin Hoffman was there.
And that's when you woke up.
No, but see, the difference is, what you're not understanding is, I was the trained monkey.
Yeah,
I was performing.
Maybe Penn will smoke.
No, we were doing a Penn and actually television
show. You were hired to do a bit.
You were hired to
you
do
were
a bit.
You were not a guest at the party.
I was not a guest. Yeah. Billy Connolly, Dustin Hoffman, they were guests.
The people who were making the food don't say, I was a guest.
I didn't say I was a guest.
Did you?
I said I met Billy Connolly, and I tried to imply.
You implied
I was
you were
at Barbara Streisand's house. It was. I don't even think it was Barbara Streisand's house. Barbara Streisand was at the party, I think. Maybe it was her husband's house. I don't know. It was someone's house. They drove me there. And Teller was smoking. He was a smoking monkey on stage then. And Billy Connolly said to me, with a great deal of bragging in his voice, he said, "You know, I've met three of the Beatles." And I looked back at him and said, "I've met all four monkeys." That's what an American says when some limey piece of trash tries to pull that Beatles stuff.
How many of them banana splits did you meet?
Flegel?
You never met Flegel?
No. Okay, so it involves multiple monkeys. Incidentally, this story at this speed, I've read one line of it. And we're deep into the program. So this may be a three or four parter. This is Scott speaking again, not Penn. "I come from a family of 12 children, 8 boys and 4 girls. We had such a large family, we actually took vacation in shifts because the blue family station wagon with wood paneling only seated 8 uncomfortably. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, I was lucky enough to be selected to go on a trip to Arkansas to visit our grandparents. Being so young, I had no seniority and was relegated to the bitch seat in the back of the station wagon." I like he's 6 years old, he's in the bitch seat. "It was one of those seats that flipped up and faced the back window. On the way to Arkansas, we passed these incredibly enticing signs along the highway advertising the drive-through zoo." You can tell this is going to be a great story. "The billboard was basically a picture of a car driving through what looked like Africa with animals freely roaming around them. We begged and pleaded to stop, but my parents would not budge. We got to Arkansas. We were able to convince our grandmother and my mother to take us to the zoo a few days later." See, this is going to involve, remember, multiple monkeys. Multiple monkeys and kids. We arrive at the zoo and we basically got our first lesson in false advertising as our adventure began. First, we drove by a caged bear seemingly 30 yards away from the road who barely had enough room to move. That trend continued as it became very evident that no animals were going to be roaming around as depicted on the billboard. The park was littered with signs saying, "Do not stop your car. Do not leave your car. Do not feed the animals, and keep the windows rolled up." Lucky for us, we only broke 3 of the rules that day. So after a few miles of consistent letdown, this pack of small monkeys came out of the trees and began following our car. We immediately began pestering our mother to slow down, as this was the closest we'd been to animals all day. My mother broke rule number 1 by stopping the car. We'll be back with more of Monkey Tuesday. Monkey Tuesday here with Penn Jillette on Free FM, PennRadio@gmail.com. Yep, Scott's mother broke rule number 1. Let's see what happens in the drive-thru zoo with the monkey attack on Monkey Tuesday. Hear that piano being played like a crazy monkey by Mike Jones? That's because it's Monkey Tuesday. Monkey Tuesday, it's all monkeys all the time. You know, we're going to get back to Scott's story. As Scott is 6 or 7 years old. He is in the bitch seat of the back of the station wagon facing the wrong way, and he is going through a zoo with animals all around, which has been a ripoff to date, and there are several rules. One is do not stop your car, do not leave your car, do not feed the animals, and keep windows rolled up. And they're going to break 3 of those rules. Last we heard from Scott, his mother had broke rule 1 by stopping the car. The monkeys jumped on the back bumper of our station wagon, and it seemed obvious to me that these monkeys were after food. They were extremely cute. And this was easily the closest I had ever been to a live monkey in my life. Suddenly, the bitch seat became the best seat in the car, and my siblings in the middle seat began begging me to switch places so they could be closer to the monkeys. I declined gracefully and took in the sights. Being that these monkeys were obviously begging for food, in my opinion, I began pestering my mom for some kind of food to give them. My mother began looking through her purse and found 3 Found 3 packs of Sertz breath mints with flavor crystals.
That's a good mom right there.
That's a good mom. 3 packs with flavor crystals. And, you know, monkeys' breaths is not that good. You know, Tarzan, monkeys could all use Sertz all the time because monkeys don't brush their teeth. Probably cheetah brushes his teeth. Yeah. And probably the tea monkeys brush their teeth. But real monkeys, no teeth brushing. If they had toothbrushes, they would have invented towels. These breath mints were basically earmarked for our trip to church, as my mother was not going to be embarrassed by her, he uses an obscenity here, shoot breath kids in the house of God. We were able to convince my mother that these breath mints were exactly what we were looking for right now. My mother then rolled down the electric back window just enough for my younger brother and I to feed the monkeys. So rules 3 and 4 were effectively broken. I was completely mesmerized by this experience as I fed the monkeys breath mints. They were all stuffing their mouths with these breath mints and kind of looked like little chipmunks with cheeks stuffed with nuts. I don't ever want this experience to end. I was making friends with monkeys more than a boy my age could ever hope for. Isn't this a great story?
It's
I don't think
story.
It's as good as the monkey and the dwarf story because it has no dwarf.
We're not at the end yet.
We're not at the end yet. Maybe a dwarf will come in, but it's a great story. Thank you, Scott. So eventually the certs ran out, and it slowly became evident this was not acceptable to this group of monkeys. My brother seemed to be a bit more comfortable with this situation than I and moved closer to the window to get a better look at the monkeys. One, this is horrible. First of all, let me just tell you, monkeys being taken out of their natural habitat and put in a zoo in Arkansas, that's wrong. Second, feeding certs to monkeys, that's wrong. These monkeys are horribly treated. This story should never have happened, but I'm so glad it did. One of the monkeys reached in, grabbed my brother by his hair on top of his head. Yeah, by the hair on top of his head. It's good he said by the hair on top of his head.
Could have been lots worse.
Could have been lots worse. But he specifies, and pulled his head against the window. Suddenly, it was like the day of the wild, as every one of these monkeys went completely nuts. And were all reaching in the window and grabbing anything they could on my brother. His hair, shirt, ears, neck. And he was pretty much stuck against the window. Now, I want to say that there's nothing funny about monkeys being tortured outdoors. There's nothing funny about children being hurt by monkeys. There's nothing funny whatsoever about this story. Sometimes you'll hear us making sounds. That's because everybody deals with their grief in a different way.
That's right.
And the way I deal with grief is by making these sounds. And I make these sounds mostly because
it's Monkey Tuesday!
So keep in mind, this was all happening so quickly, and everyone is just reacting at this point, that I promptly abandoned my brother by jumping into the middle seat.
That's
I liked my
there.
Brother, but I was old enough to know that I was no match for 15 to 20 greedy monkeys. My sisters react by screaming uncontrollably, "They got Matthew! They got Matthew! They got Matthew! They got Matthew!" My mom and grandmother both looked back and were trying to make out what was going on. I don't think they had a clear view as everyone was jumping around and screaming. So, you know, when you have children in a station wagon, they're pretty close to monkeys. You know, chattering, screaming, jumping. So, and there's an ellipsis after that. So, my grandmother's solution to the problem was to immediately roll up the back window in hopes that the monkeys would release my brother from the clutches of these primates. Her plan had the desired result, and the monkeys let go of Matthew as soon as the window went up. Now, this would have been the end of the whole deal had my mother not been executing her solution to the problem by deciding to peel out and began speeding through the zoo in hopes of the monkeys falling off the car. So it turns out that both my mother and my grandmother had a quality solution, but in tandem it didn't quite solve the problem since the monkeys' arms were now stuck in the back window. There's nothing funny about this, but keep in mind it is Monkey Tuesday. They were basically not falling off the car, but instead kind of flapping against the back window as we sped away. I cannot even imagine what this would look like from outside the car. He cannot imagine, but everybody, let's take a moment and imagine this. Monkeys eating certs, reach through the window, grab a boy's head. The window goes up, traps their little arms. The car speeds out, covered with monkeys.
Flapping in the breeze.
I cannot even imagine what this would look like from outside the car, but it was completely frightening from inside the car. So we all kept screaming. My grandmother realized that plan B was needed. She rolled down the window. So speeding through the zoo with many monkeys stuck in our back window, my grandmother released them from the window, and they fell off. As we sped away, I could see the monkeys tumbling and a bunch of certs popping out of their mouths as they tumbled. I'm not sure he actually remembers seeing the certs popping out of their mouths.
Might have been their teeth.
There's nothing. Ow. I want to say, you know, because we have people that are true humanitarians and care very much about animals. And I just want to say that there's nothing funny about this story, and you should not recreate it. If you got a bunch of monkeys, don't drive a station wagon through. Don't feed them certs. So we leave the zoo and get back to our grandparents' house. We walk in the house. My dad immediately notices Matthew's face is all scratched up. He asks the obvious question. What happened? My mother didn't even stop walking as we passed my father on the way to the couch and just said calmly, the monkeys got him. Classic, simply classic. The look on my dad's face was something Norman Rockwell never thought to capture. Needless to say, my brother does not like monkeys or find them funny, even when smoking. That's a little story from Scott on Monkey Tuesday. It's a fabulous, fabulous story.
It really
and
is.
And we've got Cheetah painting. Do you have any other monkey stories?
I do. I have a friend who was bitten by a monkey.
Do you really?
At a pet store, yeah.
Yeah, I was bitten by a monkey, too. Twice?
No, it was nice. It was a nice story. It was a good story.
Do you want to tell parts of it?
Well, sure.
Okay.
My poor friend Kelly. Yeah. My poor friend Kelly Lipkowski. Kelly Lipkowski and I were at a pet store.
For those who tuned in late, it's Monkey Tuesday. That's why we're here.
That's right. In case Kelly's just now tuning in.
What's his name, Kelly?
Kelly Lipkowski.
Lipkowski?
Yeah. He makes movie monsters.
He makes what? Movie monsters?
Movie monsters, yeah.
What movies he worked on?
Gizmo was the big one for him. He painted Gizmo's eyes. And
oh, I see.
It was a long time ago. We haven't spoken in a few years, so okay. I'm not
but current. maybe this will make you
maybe he'll call.
Again. Maybe he'll write into penradio@gmail.com.
I remember that monkey biting me. It was the tiniest monkey you've ever seen. It was a little bitty monkey at a pet store in like a bird cage.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he just thought, oh, it's a cute little monkey. Look, as he was saying, his hands, even though he's that tiny, his hands are just like ours. And he held up his finger so the little monkey was reaching out of the cage. You know, little tiny monkey. And that monkey grabbed him and yanked that finger in there and latched onto it. It took about 10 minutes to get the monkey off, really.
Really?
Yeah, the monkey would not release.
What did you do, hit him with a stick?
No, the pet store guy came.
That would be my first aid.
He was in a cage. You couldn't hit the monkey. He had his finger inside the cage and it latched on and it was bleeding.
Well, you know, when I was a child, the animals recognized me as the Antichrist. Very, very
quickly.
They
still do.
Yeah. It's amazing. I do not get along with animals at all. Really no animals. And I had my head bitten very badly by a llama when I was taken to a petting zoo. And I also, there was a little organ grinder with a little cute monkey with a hat, you know. And I was about 5 or 6 years old. And I was giving the monkey a quarter as he was dancing. And monkey grabbed my finger and bit me hard. And the organ grinder then explained that this monkey had never, ever bitten anyone before, but was filled with rage at little Damien Pendulette, who was brought to the proxy. So after a while, my parents wouldn't let me near any animals. I was also bitten badly by a goose. So a goose, a llama, and a monkey all attacked me. And I was bitten a million times by dogs. You know, I was a paper boy, you know. And I get bit on the ass and thigh like a zillion. You know, I still dislike dogs tremendously.
Yeah, when we go riding, you are little dog freaky.
Yeah, when I go riding, we ride our little trikes. We have a tandem trike.
It's hard to be more gay than us.
No.
We have a pink tandem trike.
And we have matching helmets that Michael Gudeau and Penn Jillette ride. And the tandem trike is what I call the Don Johnson. because when you're riding it, you feel really cool, but from outside you look like a dick, you know, and everybody just knows it. So it's exactly what it is like to be Don Johnson. You sit around thinking, I'm really cool, and everybody looks and goes, oh, man, what a loser. What's wrong with you? But I'm so low. You're so low that a rattlesnake can bite you on the ass in the truck. It's low slung for speed, so you feel cool and look like a an idiot, like Don Johnson. So I have a little can of mace that someone gave me.
And I'm behind you on the track. I'm really happy about the can of mace. I can't wait for the day you use it.
I have the can of mace under my seat, so if a dog comes at me, they could tear my face off. My mother, I come from a long line of dog dislikers. My mom said to me when I was 5 or 6, I wanted to get a dog. It was before I get bitten a lot. And my mother said to me, you can have a dog, but if you bring him to the house, I will leave and never come back again. And my mother did not ever bluff. As far as I know, my mother never once bluffed. She once promised that, you know, my dad complimented her on spaghetti sauce that she hadn't made. She served a spaghetti sauce that was like ragu or something, and she always made it from scratch. And my dad, who was the kindest, sweetest man in the world, always said after every meal, that was the greatest meal I ever had, honey. He would always say to my mom and make me say the same thing. That was the greatest meal I ever had. But she didn't have time to cook her spaghetti sauce, so she cooked ragu. And she just opened it up the can. And my dad said at the end, that's the best spaghetti sauce I've ever had. And she said, if you like canned as well as my spaghetti sauce, I'll never cook spaghetti sauce again. And she never did, as long as she lived. That's the kind of woman my mom was. So we knew if we brought a dog home, by we, I'm using the royal we, because my sister was 23 already, 25. I never brought a dog home because my mom would leave, and I liked my mom. And this is Monkey Tuesday. Ben Gillette on Free FM. BenRadio@gmail.com. BenRadio.com. Nothing funny whatsoever.
Sounds
about
like
monkeys.
Yosemite Sam impersonation.
I hate monkeys. Yeah, I was bitten by a monkey. There are monkeys in India, but I'll talk about that later. That's the Mike Jones Superstar Orchestra playing the Penn Jillette theme, as always. You go to PennRadio.com. There's cool links there where you can go right to Jones Jazz and pick up other music by Mike Jones. Or if you just like the Penn Jillette theme, it's up there for free. Just load it, put it on your iPod, play the whole thing. After you're done listening to the podcast, put on the whole Penn. That stopped abruptly, didn't it?
Maybe not for everyone else, just for us.
Just for us, okay. I like they give us a different program than they put out on the air. Just so it keeps us off. You know, the Plasmatics, remember the band, the Plasmatics? Yeah. Wendy Orleans Williams, who killed herself, but she was a big pneumatic platinum blonde who put electrical tape over her nipples and sang. And they did a thing on one of their albums, which I just loved, where I think a lot of bands have done, but they've done it accidentally, where they all put on headphones. They could only hear themselves in the middle of the song and took out the program for everybody else and just played it until it drifted apart. The whole beat fell apart and everybody was playing separately. Now, if you did that with really good jazz guys and cut off everybody else, they would still say rock solid. But a punk band like the Plasmatics, Richie Sautz, who was like the 6'5" blue mohawk guy who wore a skirt in the Plasmatics, now is a professor of geology. So I don't know what happened to the other Plasmatics.
He had something to fall back on.
But in case you were wondering what happened to the Plasmatics, I filled that in on Monkey Tuesday, a little sideline on Monkey Tuesday. Speaking of sidelines on Monkey Tuesday, next Tuesday will not be Monkey Tuesday. Next Tuesday will be John Lennon.
Beatle Tuesday.
Beatle Tuesday. Next Tuesday, we're trying to find one person who has a knowledge of the Beatles, knowledge of John Lennon, knowledge of parapsychology, you know, supernatural events, skeptical, very funny, and has a honky-tonk badonkadonk. All of those things, if they have those things, we will set them up so that Monday night, now there's going to be a John Lennon seance, a pay-per-view thing that I really believe that nobody should watch. The guy who's doing this should go broke. He should lose money on this. But in case you're interested in what's going to happen, we're going to get one lucky listener who we will give the $10
lucky.
To.
That's to an interesting watch. Choice of words. Yeah.
To watch lucky. This, lucky, on a Monday night, to watch the full John Lennon seance, the ghost of John Lennon, and then they will come in on Tuesday. And this is the prize package they get. We're going to give them tickets to see Penn and Teller. We're going to give them tickets to see Lance Burton featuring Michael Goudeau.
They're going to have to stay in town a couple of days to make this work.
Happy Jack is going to buy. They might live in Vegas. Living in Vegas is
that'd
a plus.
Be help.
Happy Jack is going to give them a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. Patrick is going to give them $20 to do some gambling with.
He's giving us the hand signal. Apparently, it's 100.
And we're going to give them a little tour around the Slammer. And you got to be in Vegas because Tuesday you're going to come on. It's going to be a full hour talking to you about how psychotic, evil, and immoral the John Lennon thing was. If it was, because maybe it's the real deal.
Sure.
And Tuesday next week, maybe it'll be all of us having a huge conversion and believing in parapsychology, believing John Lennon has come back. Maybe this will become an evangelical radio show because free FM, you talk about whatever you want. So if I'm an evangelical spiritualist next Monkey Tuesday, if I am, then I'll be talking about that because on free FM, that's what we do at penradio@gmail.com. We get a few more.
So we need some letters, yeah.
Monkey stories. But right in with the John Lennon thing because, you know, we can screw things up really easily. And it's very easy for me to forget that with this whole trajectory of John Lennon is going. So write us really strong things. Make sure you talk about your honky-tonk padonka-donk.
I think it'd be cool if they juggled. I think we should bring a juggler in.
Juggling is a big plus because we talk better with jugglers. We relate. We relate to them. And also if they play a little guitar, so when the ghost of John Lennon...
You mean a ukulele? Isn't that a little guitar?
Yeah. dictates a song, they can come in and play a little bit for us here.
Okay.
So we'll have the mic set up right over there. We'll have somebody here. And, of course, you'll be on the webpage. You get to meet Dustin. You'll get pictures taken of you. You'll be a star. This could be the start of a whole career. we're giving you hundreds of dollars in prizes. Penn & Teller Show, The Lance Burton Show, Penn & Teller at the Rio. Tell us what you got. Tell us all about why you should be the one we talk to about this John Lennon thing. My father-in-law, Bob, who's a doctor in Miami, told us a monkey story. Yeah, he was on a romantic, this is like 30 years ago, he told us. He was on a romantic ride around Central Park.
In a hansom cab.
And with a date. And he was going around there with the open top and everything. And the cab driver had
lovely summer night. Yes,
had a monkey. And the monkey came back and was very, very cute and played with him and had a good time. And he didn't get bit by a monkey because my father-in-law is not hated by all animals like I am. We're not genetically related, so that only gets done in my family. Maybe Moxie will be hated by all animals. We don't know. Maybe she'll do fine. She was having a fine time with the monkey. And then the monkey, of course, we can't say what the monkey did, but there was monkey feces all over him. I don't know what the verb is to the monkey all over him. And his date, and he went home from this beautiful romantic date smelling of monkey
poo.
We asked him what the monkey ate because he said it was particularly disgusting. We're not going to go into how terrible the
assumption was monkey chow, right?
Monkey chow. And that brings to mind, for those of you who, some people write in letters to us and say, a lot of people write in these letters and say that I'm the voice of reason on the radio.
Well, you're about to blow that, aren't you?
I'm about to just
You're not going
to
tell
show...
them this, are you?
What's that?
You're not really going to tell this, are you?
I think I might. For those of you who hate me, you don't need any more evidence. You've got plenty. I talk about religion in a negative way. I've talked about I'm a libertarian. You know, I have all these.
And you're encouraging monkeys to smoke.
I'm encouraging monkeys to smoke. I have no concern for monkeys. I do the show Bulls Hit. There's a lot of stuff to dislike me for. But if you like me, here's something you should keep in mind.
Don't kiss you on the lips.
I toured for 30 years. I was on the road for 30 years. And when you tour for 30 years, one of the problems you have is breakfast. It's really a problem. Because I would like to sit in my hotel room and type, right? And there's no food in the hotel room. And I didn't like to order room service. And I always wanted to I get really hungry. And by the time I get dressed and took a shower and went down to the, wherever the place was they were serving food or at the theater, right? I was fine with all the rest of the meals of the day because they serve it to me at the theater. But I just couldn't. So I tried taking like power bars with me and those weren't satisfying. So I started writing letters to friends of mine saying, what could I eat that would have everything I possibly would need for breakfast, that I didn't have to heat up or cook or anything.
It would stay. Yeah, you could keep it.
I don't care what it tastes like. I just want a bag of something in my bag that I can carry with me and always have breakfast. So a friend of mine who was a zoologist said to me, monkey chow. It's a monkey chow. So I told my assistant. that I wanted him to buy a 50-pound bag of Purina monkey chow because their biology is very similar to ours. And my plan was I was going to just take a serving of monkey chow every morning, and I was just going to eat the monkey chow. The woman I was dating at the time said, she said,
that wasn't it.
That wasn't it.
Can you get this flea off my butt?
She said, no.
She said, no?
You're not going to eat monkey chow. I don't want anything to do with you if you have monkey chow. Now, that's not the interesting part of the story. That's not a bad part of the story for Penn. Penn is okay at that point. He wanted monkey chow. His girlfriend didn't want him to have monkey chow. Classic conflict.
Sure,
you know, many Neil Simon plays had that kind of conflict. Ibsen has a lot of that. Chekhov has a lot of that. That's conflict in a relationship. I want to eat monkey chow every morning. I don't want you to eat monkey chow every morning. All of that is okay. And also, when a man's been on the road, yes, he was so afraid that I would ride in a cab with my father-in-law. That was her real fear with the monkey chow. But that's not the bad part of the story.
That's not okay? the bad part
a,
of the story.
A person who's been on the road for 30 years, or whatever this was, been on the road for 25 years, gets crazy. There's no doubt about it. And I get less crazy than some other people. You know what I mean? There are other people that have been on the road that get crazier than me. You know what I mean? Neil Young's crazier than me, right? Keith Richards crazier than me. There's a lot of people crazier than me. Asking to eat monkey chow for breakfast is not that crazy. Here comes the crazy part. I fought with her. I got really mad. I mean, really mad. And I was saying stuff like, you just don't respect me. I've researched this. I want to eat monkey chow. You're acting like this is a really sick, terrible thing. You don't respect my decisions. I mean, I'm really mad. Like, I'm really close to, like, biting her. And I am really angry because I'm saying, you know, you are so close-minded. You are so living in your little world that you can't even realize a brilliant idea when you hear it. I want to eat monkey chow. And we fought about it and actually eventually broke up over the monkey chow.
It was the monkey chow?
It was the monkey chow that broke us up.
That's farther. I didn't know it had gone that far. I knew there was a fight.
It went very bad. It went very bad. And I think that there's nobody listening to this that would take my side.
You're better off without her. I never liked her.
Only a man on my payroll.
By the way, I quit.
But then I talked to a biologist friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Who said that the makeup of monkey chow is entirely wrong for a human being, and that it had much too much roughage in it.
More fiber than you needed.
Much too much fiber than I needed. And it would not be healthy. And besides that, the sanitary conditions that monkey chow was made under would not be acceptable for me. So she was right. I was wrong. She's gone. Now I'm happily married, and I don't eat monkey chow for breakfast. I eat oatmeal with maple syrup and skim milk. Happy Monkey Tuesday, everybody. It's been a pleasure being here. We'll be here tomorrow on Wednesday. We'll talk more about Bulls hit because the death penalty show was on a couple nights ago. If you want to call in about that tomorrow, we'll be all set to do it. We're on Free FM. Love you. Love you, all you monkeys. Monkey Tuesday!
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.